AM 1080 KSCO.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey, it's time for the Saturday special again, gang. Welcome to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's Michael Z with a two-hour program today that will keep you on the edge of your seats. Here, we're going to be discussing the most important issue facing Americans today, and we have some great guests in the studio, so we hope you'll stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
That's our special fanfare music bed. And I hear that. I hear something else. That? Okay, yeah, that's our crossfire music. It's either this music or that music that gets played every Saturday special, depending upon whether our subject or guest are particularly special. Then we play the special fanfare music. Or if it's going to be a cat fight, you know, like we have people in the studio who are probably going to be scratching each other's eyes out, then we play the music that's on right now, the crossfire music, right? Anyhow, yeah, Dave, I the first one was appropriate. Yeah, definitely. So I don't, maybe the second one too. Who knows? We don't know. We have two of our guests here in the studio are familiar to our KSCO audience. That would be Gil Stein and Dr. Lena Farhat-Holtzman, both of whom have been on the Saturday special quite a number of times. But the reason that we have, we do have a special guest here, and I guess that's why Dave put on the special fanfare music. That special guest is, I hope I'm going to pronounce your name right, Khalif Sepp. You know, I'm going to strangle the person who wrote the email because he made sure to say it's pronounced K-A- and then leave, like you're leaving, you know? And so, now, are you sure that you're pronouncing your name correctly?
I'll check with my mother, but okay. it's like olive with a K in the front, Khalif.
All right, now here, I'm going to say Khalif. So I don't, see, I have this problem of keep, if once I get something in my brain that's wrong, it stays there. And then I feel like a fool for the rest of the radio show because the host should, at least after being corrected at the beginning, should be able to pronounce the name correctly for the rest of the program. Okay, Khalif. Now, help me out with this one. Sepp?
Bang on. That's exactly right.
God, okay. That's now, you're an Iraqi, an Iraq specialist. You're not Iraqi. Although you do have a funny name.
Yeah, I was the son of refugees after the Second World War. Came to the States. I was actually born in San Francisco.
Oh my gosh! Well, you're an Iraq specialist. I had originally written Iraqi specialist, but that would give people the impression that you're from Iraq and you're not from Iraq.
I am.
But you are an Iraq specialist, and you are a professor from the Defense Analysis Department of the Naval Postgraduate School here in Monterey.
Exactly right.
And welcome to KSCO.
Thank you very much.
Which is
great to be here.
Great to have you. I don't know how much you've listened to our crazy radio station, but we're proud to offer it as the soapbox for the Monterey Bay to talk about issues facing the world and the community. So we're very pleased to have you here because I don't think we've ever had anybody, you know, from your background and stature here regarding Iraq. So, oh, wait a minute. Here's Lee. I'm just going to stop talking because the more I talk, the more I swallow my foot. So, hey, welcome Gil and welcome Lena. Here we are. I keep hoping that we're going to solve something here on the radio station and come up with some, you know, pulse stopping, you know, earth shaking solution. But I guess all we can do realistically is just talk about what's going on and from each of your perspectives, do a little prognosticating, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Where are we now? Where are we now? I mean, we have a president whom I understand has had his approval ratings elevate somewhat, right, as a result of the
a little bit
foiled
for the moment,
attempt
yeah.
to yeah. Where give us your analysis, Lena.
I see this really as such a long-term issue, and this is the problem, that it's being treated like a daily news flash, where we've been at war with fundamentalist Islam since the Iranian Revolution, and nobody here recognized that. We really didn't recognize it until we got hit. And I'm afraid that a lot of people in the United States are not going to recognize that we really are at war until we're hit again. So it's a problem for analysts like us who are trying to look long-term at a problem that it's going to be a long time, that we have to be fighting this war and that we have to be dealing with the circumstances of it, and we have to know where we stand. And I think right now the United States is clueless. Most people really don't know where we're going, why we're in it, whether we should pull out of it now.
Well, the people, do you think the people running the country are clueless?
I don't think they're clueless, but you know, they're not rewarded for long-term planning. And I think that we have to consider this, that people who are in office for a limited period of time, and they hand the problem on to the next people who have to take it up.
I don't think I nor anyone can disagree with you. However, we did a program, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where the question, we posed a question at the beginning of the program, if you were in charge, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you were on that program.
No, I wasn't. No.
Let me ask you that question right now. You're not Lena here talking to MZ and the right. Saturday special audience. You're Lena who is in charge. You're the grand poobah.
Okay. Well, I've thought about this before. Yeah. Because if one is going to be a consultant to branches of government, for example, you have to come up with something that is doable. And I'm a real believer in sneaky stuff. I think that we can be using the rumor mills of the Middle East. We can find out the soft spots, particularly Iran, which right now is riding high. I think it would be very possible to bring them down without going in with troops. I think there's a lot of things that can be done. And what you have to understand is where are they vulnerable, and you go for it. And you have to have the eye on the long-term goal. And the long-term goal is to transform this Islamic fundamentalist thing into a Middle East that is going to accept the modern world and is going to flourish. Right now, the
direction... Well, trying to change people. It's like going with someone who, you know, you basically think you love, but there's some things that you don't, and you figure, well, I'll change those, but you can't change. You know, I am what I am, and that's all I am. Gil, what do you have to say here?
Well, I don't disagree necessarily with Lena, but I think that this is more than just what can the United States do. One of the things that we have seen over time is the extent that the Islamic world has moved into other parts of the world that have up to now have not really been under the control or the influence of Islam. And you can look at Asia, mm-hmm. you can look at Africa, and unfortunately, you can look at Europe. I mean, the problems that they're having in Holland, England, France, Germany, elsewhere, makes this more than just what can the United States do. It's unfortunate that even if we got our act together, and I'm somewhat doubtful that we'll do that, but even if we did, we can't do it alone. We need the people, particularly in Europe, to understand that they're actually more on the front line than we are. They're a lot closer to the action than the United States is.
Well, I'm a little more hopeful on that than you are, because I think that Europe has been burnt a couple of times already. And I was at a security conference in Berlin, and all of the security people, the people who are really on the police end of this thing, are in agreement that this is the issue that they're up against. The problem are the politicians and the judges and sort of the old-fashioned socialist mindset of Europe. But that's changing as we're looking at it now, because they're starting to be afraid. And that's a good sign that they are getting a little bit more of a grip. They were in denial before.
Who's afraid?
I think all of the Europeans are afraid that their generous immigration policies, in which all kinds of Muslims came into their country, many of whom don't like Europe.
It certainly makes sense. But, I mean, why do you think that they're beginning to be afraid?
Because they've been hit. I think
it makes all the difference in the world. But what actions on their part have given you that feeling?
The policing.
I haven't caught any of it.
Policing is doing better. They're rounding up people. They're arresting them. They're finding some of the people before things go off. I think the British have to be congratulated for having defanged this plot that would have been a devastating thing for all of us.
God forbid that we are attacked on U.S. soils again after 9/11. It hasn't happened, and Bush has received, I think, properly credit for that. I mean, we haven't had it. Oh, okay, good. Let's talk to Kalev and see what he says. Let's see what his perspective is from his perch here.
Well, this is terrific listening to Lainey and Gil talk about this Islamist threat as our nation would have to deal with it. But the question I would have, you know, derived from my own area of specialty, my own academic focus in Iraq, is what about this war inside Islam? Because so much of the difficulty in Iraq, when one talks about sectarian violence, are these two branches of Islam, the Sunni and the Shia, in direct war with each other.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is something that we should absolutely encourage. Now, that sounds terrible, but, you know, I really feel that all of this is really about Islam's internal struggles. And I think that what we really ought to do is to let them work this out and to help.
Or let them kill each other, if so
be it,
right?
Well, you know, going to happen, they're going through the same thing that the West did 3 centuries ago with Protestants and Catholics. We went through horrible religious wars. And the result of it was people finally got so fed up that we had the Enlightenment and we had the Reformation. And I think that this is what Islam is going through right now. And we have to recognize that they are. If they want to stop doing that before they have reformed Islam, it's going to be premature.
What you just suggested reminds me of a theory I remember being advanced by a very wise man about drugs, and how all drugs should be legal, and let all the drug addicts, you know, fight and kill each other, you know, and let them take all they want. And I mean, that sounds a little bit like that. And this person was very, very much ahead of his time, who said that, who advanced that. But anyhow, I didn't mean to interrupt here. Just
Mike, I think that what Lena said might be a solution. I don't think it is the solution, though, because I'm comparing it, say the mob, and the police generally let, if it was a fight between two you know, two factions of the mob, they'd kind of let them kill each other as long as they didn't spill over into other areas and harm innocent citizens. But what we have here is, while Islam is fighting each other for control, there are a lot of other people who are, for a better word, innocent bystanders.
Sure.
And I think if they keep their fight between themselves, you know, let the better faction win.
Yeah.
But when they start blowing up trains and towers and hotels and other things in places that are not really part of that battle, we can't let that go on.
And that's certainly true. My suggestion is that we can play this struggle off to our benefit.
Well, I started to say something here, and Kalev said, made some body language that made me realize that, hey, He's a guest here too. He hasn't spoken yet, but I gotta finish making that point here. If God forbid our country were attacked again, mm-hmm. how do you think that the masses would respond? Do you think they would respond much like they did after 9/11? We weren't liberals and conservatives for a precious month or two. We were Americans, and we were all, you know, united. Mm-hmm. And sometime after that, it sort of unraveled into these fighting factions, right, where our country is now more polarized than I ever remember it in my lifetime.
We were polarized like this in the late 30s.
Okay, well, that's not my lifetime.
Okay.
I didn't happen.
I'm a historian, so you know it's all my lifetime.
I didn't happen until 1951.
But we do have examples in our history of uh-huh. periods like that.
Okay.
We were polarized, and the war changed it. The war united
okay,
us.
Okay, so the question that I have to pose to everybody, including our callers, whom we will soon invite to call us and participate on this radio program, 479-1080 is the phone number, is as follows. If we were attacked again, do you think that we could unite again? Yes or no? That's the question mm-hmm. of this program. Do you think that we could unite again if we were attacked again? What do you think, Colin?
This, interestingly enough, this was just the very pointed discussion among a group of strategists that in Washington that I'm associated with. And without sounding too calculating about this, part of that response would depend on the scale of the attack.
That's right. Yeah.
And if it was, part of that scale is an example.
At least 9/11-esque.
3,000 dead.
Yeah.
If there would be any way of determining the attacker. And actually, in some ways, even worse, if there were no way of determining the attacker, there would be an extraordinary and I think almost unrestrained response. The pressure on the government to do something very, very direct would be tremendous. It would be on the level of a crusade.
Okay, well, so the answer is yes. It would be like 9/11.
Yes,
the response
absolutely.
Would be like 9/11, maybe even more so.
I don't think Americans would get inured to losing 3,000 Americans at a shot and just go, oh, that's all part of doing business in the modern world.
Well, I think some of the leftists believe that now.
You mean that we would bear up to
no,
that?
No, there's so many people in this country who seem to have forgotten 9/11.
Well,
And how can you forget that? It's like forgetting the Holocaust.
I'll build on what Lena was saying because in terms of to reflect back in history, you know that because it is exactly as you say, Michael, beyond in some ways beyond living memory, Pearl Harbor. Which had it had incited America in bringing it into the Second World War was a terrific event, but only 2 years later historians are very very familiar with this. There was terrific concern in the U.S. government that there was a loss of interest in the war. And there was a constant effort to try and remind people about Pearl Harbor, to bring that event back. But Americans were beginning to question, why are thousands of young Americans dying on these little rocks in the South Pacific that we've never heard of? What has that got to do with the insult that was inflicted upon us? And is it worth the price? Haven't we extracted our revenge at this point? And so it was very difficult to push this forward. Interestingly, again by coincidence, Joe Rosenthal, the famous photographer, just passed away last weekend.
Yeah.
He was credited that photograph from the Marines raising the flag on top of Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima, that probably the most iconic photograph of the entire Second World War. Is credited with reviving American interest and belief in the war at the time, but it swung on things like that. So it's I don't think it's necessarily extraordinary that 5 years after 9/11, that there's been an attenuation of interest in the counter-terrorist effort that the United States had begun.
I wasn't suggesting that at all. Everybody's interested. I mean, everybody I talk to is interested in the war. They're either for it or against it. But I'm talking about, the unity. I mean, there was unity in this country. Everybody was an American after 9/11 for a month or two, right?
Yeah, I think that there's some other things. I agree with what Kalev said to some extent. In part, it would depend upon who we could finger as the culprit. If you look in, for instance, in England with this this undercover, operation, these were generally British-born people who happen to be of Pakistani ancestry. And that could, if it turns out, if we had something like that and they were basically homegrown terrorists, even if they had an Islamic bent to it, it might change it versus if it was an attack that we knew came from Al-Qaeda or for some other overseas group. So
I don't mean to ask a silly question now, and I'm probably going to, people are going to think I'm an idiot for even asking it, but It seems that everybody agrees that Osama bin Laden is the culprit behind 9/11. I mean, is there any...
No, there's no doubt about that.
There is no doubt about that. Okay. And the reason we know that is why? Forgive me, I'm ignorant.
All of the people... Well, I mean, he said so himself. He was surprised at the success of the buildings.
There's a guy named... what's his name? Koss?
Carr,
yeah. Who says that he killed JonBenet Ramsey?
That's
it's beginning to think. I mean, hey, listen. When you could become famous, people might be willing to take credit for something that they don't deserve credit for. I'm not suggesting that he's not. How do we know?
Look, we know about the training camps in Afghanistan, and we know that they were planning this, and that all of the people who were involved were in a long-term preparation for it.
Okay, and because we know that, Gil. It's generally regarded that this is an enormous enemy of unprecedented proportions, right?
Right.
Because it's just everywhere,
and not just the United States.
Uh huh.
Yeah, everywhere in the world.
Okay. So what you're saying? So what you said, Kalev, a minute ago, is that if we had an attack on this country and we determined that it was not a
homegrown?
Yeah, homegrown, I guess, is the word that someone used here, which would mean that it wasn't Osama bin Laden and his, Al-Qaeda and Islamic. Do you think there's a possibility of that happening? I mean, don't you think that if...
Look, even if they're homegrown, they're getting their training from somewhere.
Right, exactly.
So this is a wholly owned subsidiary of a criminal group.
A wholly owned, spelled H-O-L-Y, a wholly owned subsidiary.
Right, but how we approach it makes a difference. And if they are American citizens, for instance, we're going to have to look a lot harder in fighting it by, the ideas of freedom of speech and all Americans are entitled to certain protections and things like that. If, in fact, by having those protections, people committed a crime like that, we would have to look at it. And that's what's happening in England now, is that they have this, if you're dealing with a local enemy as opposed to fighter pilots coming from overseas or bombs coming in from that direction, the way you approach it, I think the overall American citizenry will be just as united, but there may be a division as well. Do we give up our civil liberties in order to fight? Like we're having a little bit now with the NSA and things like that, except that if we have an actual attack and we know that the plot was actually hatched in Miami or in Chicago, and there have been some inklings of that already. Unfortunately, they haven't gone very far. Then I think that we may be divided, but at least in the goal, but not necessarily in the method, where if it comes from overseas, I think we'll be united in both ways.
What is the short answer to my question, though? What is the short answer to my question? If, God forbid, we were attacked again, we ever become united
absolutely.
Again?
Absolutely, because that is the business of your own security. This is the key to... I'm starting to cough. Excuse me. I think security is the issue. And when people feel that they are really in danger, they're going to unite.
Well, maybe God shouldn't forbid it then.
It's, whether God forbids it or allows it, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, fortune, misfortune, difficult to tell. I think we're in a worse situation now with everybody hating everybody else and not being willing to even listen on the same radio station to conservatives and liberals. That's what we found out on running KSCO and KOMY. You know, we can't put the two different KSCO has to be a conservative radio station if we're going to do talk radio, and KOMY has to be a liberal talk radio station. And I think that's a shame.
Well, you know, aside from conservative and liberal, there's another issue here, and that's a disagreement on the nature of this enemy. There are people who think it's a criminal group that we're going against, and it should be treated to law enforcement. And then there are others who say that it's war. Now, I'm of that category.
Is there anybody in this room who isn't a believer that it's that this is war that we're in?
John Kerry wasn't a believer in that. He said it was
criminal activity in this room. So if he was here with us, he would probably to this day vehemently disagree with us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the difficulty I have,
and
you know, I
understand why he doesn't get elected. Huh. Oh well, I'm sorry.
The use of the term war can be very useful. And to give an idea of the scope and the intensity of the effort that has to be made to deal with the enemies that threaten world order in the way that they do. The problem with the use of the word war is it engenders the idea that this requires a military response. But most of the work, you know, you were asking before, how do we know that, you know, that bin Laden drove the, originated and funded and planned and drove the 9/11 plot? And the answer was, an extremely thorough investigation, which is essentially was all police work. And of the, so far of the, of the.
They sure seemed to know within days.
Mm-hmm.
It came together very quickly. But in that regard, the German police, as an example, but those Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda International operatives that have been captured or killed so far, 75% of them have been arrested by been found and arrested by police. So the others had primarily been drawn into the combat in Iraq, where there is a full blown war underway. But if they're going to be run to ground, it's going to take police work and civilian cooperation with police work to make it happen.
But, Colin, when you say police, the European police operate, there's different sectors of police, and they have the equivalent of a domestic CIA, which we don't.
Hey, we've got a caller named Alan in Santa Cruz, and he wants to discuss the unwillingness to unite. I'm very excited to hear that. Hey, Alan.
Hi.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about, like you asked the question, how come the left won't get united,
I didn't say, not just the left. How come the country won't unite?
Right. Well,
the right is just as guilty, I think, of being unwilling to discuss and being polarized.
See, to me, a big thing to understand to get the whole picture is that in 1986, the international communist parties and the international Islamic parties formed an official coalition. And that's why you have so many, groups so opposed to coming together and standing up against, the Islamic Jihad.
Wait a minute. 2001, which is when we were attacked on September 11th, is way after 1985, and yet we were very united immediately after that. So you say, so what is this? What is this group that was? I mean, what happened in 1985 that you say will prevent us from ever uniting again?
Well, the far left in this country, which is controlled by communists, and they have, it's like they've formed a coalition with people that are so opposite them, these Islamic jihadists, and it just makes it so that, they have to, there's this old saying, keep your eyes on the prize.
Uh-huh.
And you support this coalition, and you know, the left in this country is blindly following this old coalition, and it's time for them to, you know, to really take a view and see what they're really supporting, you know. And to me, that, you know, that's what it's about, is to for the left, you know the coalition of the left to look and see what the core is, what they're supporting, and is it worth it? Is it what they really see?
What a great call. Is there anybody in this room who would disagree with anything that caller Alan has said? Go ahead, Gil.
Well, I'm not disagreeing, but I think that there needs to be a distinction between the, if you call, for the better word, the mainstream left and the folks who are really out there, the Answers and the World and the Socialist Workers Party and things like that. And if he's talking about those folks, I think he's absolutely right, because what you see is a group that espouses the leftists, the far leftists, a group that espouses equality of the sexes and gay rights and medicine for all and things like that, allied with a basically extremely conservative reactionary group of terrorists, essentially, but their ideology is anti-women, anti-gay, and et cetera, et cetera. So if you put all of those folks off to the side and you look at, say, you're talking about John Kerry or other people mainstream in the Democratic Party, that does not apply at all. And so I think he's talking, he may be correct, but he's talking about, you know, probably less than 1% of the United States.
But, you know, I think what's interesting about this is that there's an old Arab saying that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I think this can explain why people who have such different philosophies, the far left, for example, and that's in Europe as well, and these fundamentalist Muslims, they have the same enemy. And the enemy is the United States, it's capitalism, and it's Israel. So they're willing to
agree. That's an Arab statement?
It's an Arab principle. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And all these years I thought that was a Roy Masters principle.
No, actually, it's very old, and it makes some sense. The Arabs go further. They say, me and my brother against my cousin, and then me and my cousin against my neighbor. And, you know, you have this hierarchy of distances, where you'll unite and where you'll fight. And this is what we're seeing in the world. We're seeing very disparate groups united because they do have the same enemy.
Yeah, politics makes for strange bedfellows.
Indeed it does. Yeah. And what happens is if they succeed, then they start fighting between themselves.
Hey, Kalev, you haven't said anything.
Yes, you know, I'm
no,
like...
No, not you.
No,
Kalev. Other guest.
not the caller.
You.
Not the caller.
Pipe down, caller.
No,
I
was just...
talking too much all the time. No, I'm only kidding.
In the times that I've been in Iraq, I've become very familiar with exactly what Lena was talking about. And, you know, and I certainly support Gil's point about this, that the previous caller made about who the, you know... In combination, you know, who's the left, the extreme left, supporting, and how do you resolve this very paradoxical, radical view on the one hand and a reactionary view on the other, and it comes in exactly in this way, in this, this kind of fundamental anti-Americanism, anti-Israelism, and just there's no other way to explain it, but in its own way, it's not significant. It's its own set of ideas, but that support isn't even particularly useful, I don't think, to the terrorists.
Okay, go, Alan.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, you know, to folks that have always been on the traditional left, to go to the Resource Center for Nonviolence and just walk into their library and pick up the free literature that they can all just pick up for free off the table. And find out what the left is saying in your name.
Yeah,
it's really important. Examine it and find out if they really are representing what you want.
But no, it's pretty
right.
bad.
But, Alan, if you know me or who I am, you know that I have been attacking the Resource Center for Nonviolence, which is obviously the wrong name for that group, since I got here in Santa Cruz. But they... they don't represent the mainstream left at all. They're a fringe group as well. They won't admit it, but they don't represent the left. Look at Nancy Pelosi's record in, as minority leader of the House, and see what her record is on Israel and keeping America strong against Islamic terrorism. It's very different. The folks over there live in their own world. It's very nice in Santa Cruz, but doesn't reflect anything out there in the real world.
But what do you do with an Italian woman judge who decides to release some terrorists that the police have painstakingly arrested, and she says one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, and she let them go?
Well, you have the same thing in the Midwest here, where the judge let a person who's 5 feet tall out as a child molester, saying that he would be abused in prison. You know, we've got judges all over the world who make stupid decisions.
This sounds like a Phil Hendry show bit. Anyhow, you're listening to the KSCO Saturdays. Alan, thanks for your call. I hope you made all your points, right?
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. There goes Alan in Santa Cruz. The only caller we've had on the program. I don't know where the callers are, 479-1080 or 47... No, that's it. It's a habit. I used to say 477-1340, but if you call 477-1340, it'll ring in another studio, and it'll just ring and ring and ring because no one's in that studio. Now, things have changed.
My goodness.
Things have changed around your favorite radio station, but we would like to talk to you, any of you who choose to participate in this conversation. Not that we need you to, because we have three very fine minds and a host here today that can easily fill up the time. So don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking that I'm begging for phone calls, forget it. I couldn't give a damn if we ever got another phone call the rest of KSCO's life. Yep, I really don't care. There go the phone calls. See, it worked. Here's Kyle and Carmel. You're on, Kyle. Welcome to the Saturday special. Hello, Kyle.
I think this is Tom that you're talking.
Well, it says Kyle and Carmel, and the computer is always right. So we're just going to call you Kyle, Tom.
I'll change my name then.
Good.
the comment I had, or sort of question, is I have a military background, and I've been a student of military history for some time. And maybe this is a little bit off the subject, maybe two comments. One is, one reason we can't get together as a nation is that I think primarily because right now the right, or the Republicans, are responsible for making the decisions as to what happens, and the left, the Democrats, are so determined to defeat the Republicans that anything that the Republicans do, and it really doesn't matter whether they say something is white or it's black, immediately the Democrats take the other side. And I'm not saying it's all the Democrats' fault. I think if it was reversed, it would probably be just the same. But the determination to defeat and win the next election has overwhelmed all reality. And the second comment I wanted to make is, because of my background in the military and my study of military history, I thought that I sensed a greater strategy that perhaps the administration didn't feel that they could enunciate or talk about in the war in Iraq. And if you look in the map, the problem areas, if you wanted to put them in terms of countries, is a little strip of the Middle East, which is basically Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan and Pakistan. And that's where most of the trouble is originating from. And if you look at all the wars and battles that are going on, they're all sort of focused around those areas. The neighbors of those people can't get along with each other. And I think that if you also look at what we did, is we took out Afghanistan and we took out Iraq from that strip. And that isolated Syria, Iran, and Pakistan. And I don't think that...
Think we took out Iraq?
Well, I don't say... When I say I took them out, I say we took them out of the of that
communication line. But do you
have that line of communication?
You do believe that? Because I'm not sure I believe
and
that.
I'm not sure, and I'm not saying this worked out like it was supposed to work out, but I'm just saying that I think that that was the strategy, or at least part of the strategy. And had it been successful, or is it, or if it is successful in the future, it would leave us with a friendly relationship, let's say, with Afghanistan and Iraq, isolating Syria, which is actually a very weak country, which would easily be defeated by anybody that chose to defeat them. And Iran, which is the big problem, would be surrounded by our allies to the north, south, east, and west. Well, the south is the ocean. And then Pakistan, which also is kind of isolated in the sense that China, India, and our, you know, imposing my solution here, Afghanistan surrounding it. And that isolation, I think the intent was, or perhaps was part of the strategy, to prevent those nations from kind of communicating with each other. And can you imagine right now, if we had not taken out Iraq from this line, how bad the situation would be in South Lebanon? Because the Iranians, Iraqis, and Syrians would all be able to move stuff back and forth against the Israelis. Now that really isn't the case, because Iraq is a barrier between Iran and Syria and Lebanon. So I just wondered if anybody wanted to comment on that as a possible strategy. And again, I'm not saying it's working, but but if it were to come to pass that Iraq became a at least neutral in the battle, then that might be overall to our advantage.
Everyone's pointing to Kalev to answer you. So.
Well, yeah, and you know, Tom, let me raise a couple thoughts for you in this regard. You know, you know, it's kind of interesting that you refer to a little strip through there, which is actually this vast territorial crescent that encompasses some of the most important Muslim nations on the planet.
But, well, I didn't mean to minimize that. I'm sorry.
But Iran was, you know, it's worth considering that Iran was already buttressed by Iraq. I mean, these countries were blood enemies. It's a simplification. It's a gross oversimplification to somehow just say they are Muslim countries. And and if you consider Iran's strategic outlook right now, and I'm gonna set this up and pass it to Lena to see what she says about this. In trying to understand what Iran's participation in Iraq right now is, that they would have the strategic assessment is actually that it's seen that Iran sees two polar outcomes in Iraq. The worst, Iran's nightmare, would be that Iraq becomes a unified country like it was before under Saddam Hussein, albeit a dictatorship, but that it becomes a unified, coherent, high-functioning country allied closely to the United States. That's the worst possible thing that could happen, exactly as you say. But the best thing would be for there to be a fractious, bloody civil war in Iraq, completely debilitating it, removing it as a player from anything that goes on in that region, in the vast crescent, with the United States caught there, and I use this word carefully, in a quagmire that they can't extricate themselves from, giving limiting American strategic options for anything, any other adventures that Iran wants to participate in. To that end, Iran is directly supporting the continuing violence in Iraq, has been since the very beginning. So it's some of what you describe is a reflection of the wishful thinking and very limited strategic understanding of the region that has brought us to this particular point of difficulty in Iraq.
Okay, Kyle, a.k.a. Tom, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Okay, we've got a number of other callers here. Ed on a cell phone is next. We also have Mike in Santa Cruz. Steve has a question for guest. Are we our own Enna? I don't know what the, I think
enemies.
We read. Oh, it's just a, okay, here's Ed on a cell. Stand by. Ed, you're on.
Greetings.
It's Ed. Hi, Ed.
Greetings. I would like to make one request that you post the people's names and maybe their email addresses so we can get in contact with them post the Saturday special.
Oh, I don't know if we have a mechanism for that. Why don't you just give out your email addresses individually?
Well, I don't have a method of copying right now. If that's why I was asking it.
Oh.
I would be at severe.
Well, we don't have a webmaster. I mean, I'd love to. That's a great idea, but we're too poor to have a full-time webmaster. If we had a full-time webmaster, we could do all that kind of stuff, but we don't, so we can't.
Okay, well, you do have a pretty good website.
Thank you.
I don't know why.
But there's no webmaster. And if there was someone out there who would like to volunteer to be our webmaster, I would convey upon them a very, 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 very powerful position.
Ah, I see.
You know?
My comment on this is that I would like to see two things, is truth and intelligence. And I think you're providing the intelligence right now, because I like to see a well-reasoned discussion and put up the proposition and discuss them. I think that was has been lacking and is lacking in the current American approach.
But never on KSCO.
They've put on rose-colored glasses, and they cooked the books, and we're in the mess we're in now. Even I, as a rank amateur, could see that we're grabbing hold of a tar baby back in 2003 when they invaded Iraq. Hello?
We're listening, Ed.
Okay, I didn't know, with the cell phone, don't know the territory I'm in, whether I'm going to lose the signal or not. But that's my basic thing, is the truth and intelligence. I think there's been a large amount of mendacity coming from our administration. And if the American people were told the truth, we probably wouldn't be in the situation. And if they were, and the facts warranted it, there would be a more united front in the current struggle.
Okay. What happened to Ed?
I'm not sure what happened to Ed, but I think he's right, except that I would add to that, I don't think it's just the administration. I don't think it's just the Congress. I think it's just about everybody wants to put their own spin on things and not necessarily talk about the real issues, because there are pluses and minuses of what happened in Iraq. But we hear from one side only the pluses and the other side only the minuses, and we don't hear really people wanting to give, generally speaking, except on this show, particularly today. I think Kalev's analysis, especially since considering where he works at the Naval Postgraduate School, I think is very important. I think that we are giving, as best we can, an objective account of how we see it. But on the mainstream, whether it's Fox or CNN or whatever, you just basically get the talking heads and their spin. And so it's not just the members in the administration. It's the media elite as well.
Let's go to Mike in Santa Cruz. Mike, you're on the air. Hold on, Lena. We'll get you. Yeah. Mike, you're on.
Mr. Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. This must be what you call stick it in your ear radio.
What do you mean?
Well, y'all are just carrying forth a government lies for us. We've been hearing this for 5 years now.
Oh, well, now we definitely have to hang up on you.
Yeah.
Okay, no, go ahead. I'm only going to let you say your piece.
I assume from listening to the three of you that you still believe that it was airplanes striking the towers that caused them to fall. Is that true?
I'd like to say something to Mike right now. Go online and look up Popular Mechanics magazine.
Well, wait a minute. I just asked you a question.
What you're saying is absolute nonsense and rot. This was not a conspiracy. It was not done by the Bush administration. 9/11 really happened, and all of those myths have been debunked by scientists who are equipped to do so. Now, if you're willing to accept any kind of conspiracy theory, there's no way to talk to you.
We'd listen to you plenty, okay?
Well, let's not listen to him.
This is too much.
Okay.
It was one of the most obvious things in the world that day. when all that happened, September 11th.
I'm willing to listen to anybody, but I've listened to you too long. Here's Steve, and who has a question
for our guest. Yes, I have a couple questions and a comment or two.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I noticed there's a lot of talk about the leftist this, the leftist that, but 60% of the American people in the polls indicated that they felt the war in Iraq was a mistake. So they can't all be leftists, and it's and that's a sizable majority
think,
of people.
All due respect, I think they are all leftists.
61% of the American people are leftists.
I think so.
They don't vote that way.
They don't.
Well, then you see how the conservatives get elected. Iran is, if I were Iranian, okay. I'd be happy that we're bogged down in Iraq, because with America chained to Iraq, she's not free to do other things like prevent whatever Iran would want to do or Korea would want to do. And if you don't mind my saying so, I think the enemy is our dependency on oil.
Absolutely.
6 million people on the planet, and all of us are going to be fighting for it.
Here, Steve, we're going to put you on hold. We want to get your phone number so we can call you to be a talk host on this station.
All right.
Stand by.
Okay.
He's online, too. That's a very it's a good caller. Harold and Aptos, we call you're on. You have many questions. We're at the almost at the end of the hour. We have to play some commercials, and we're going to have to play some more commercials because we went on too long. Last week you hung up before we can get to you. Just because I'm telling you that we're going to get to you now does not mean that we're giving you the whole hour next hour, okay? But if you want to stay on, we'll listen to some of your many questions. Dave, how many minutes worth of commercials? Not excluding promos. 7? That's a good thing, but we only have 2 minutes left. What are we going to do? 3? Okay. All right, just play whatever we can play right now. Please, thank you.
Tired of monkeying around with broken sprinkler heads and smelly lawnmowers? Weeds and dry patches make you scream, growling over your decision to put a plant the size of an elephant in the space the size of an African hedgehog? Navigating your way through the maze of gardening and landscaping options and maintenance for your home or office really is enough to drive anybody wild.
Hi, I'm Randy Quilici, owner of Quilici Gardening and Landscaping. If anyone knows it's a jungle out there, it's us. We've been offering complete maintenance and landscape installation for residential and commercial properties since 1982. It's easy to let things get overgrown and out of hand and keep putting off adding that special water feature you've wanted for so long. Let us help by taming and shaping your landscape into something you'll be proud of. Call me at 425-5269 or visit us at QuiliciGardening.com.
Quilici Gardening and Landscaping, because without them, it really is a jungle out there.
Hi, this is Judy DeVilbiss. Listen to this name. Gardenia Glimmer Shea Body Soufflé. Ooh, that sounds good enough to eat, doesn't it? But, you know what? It isn't good enough to eat. I mean, I don't know. I haven't tasted it. However, it is a great body lotion, and it's from the Youngevity Company. It has a nice, soft gardenia scent. If you like gardenias, this is it. And it's a wonderful moisturizer. You rub it on, and the highlight, too, it actually glimmers. It has a little bit of a shine to it. I absolutely love it, and I use it all the time. It's just so lovely. Anyway, why don't you give it a shot? Youngevity has some wonderful products, and this is one of the new ones. So if you'd like to get started with the Youngevity products and check out the Gardenia Glimmer, why don't you call 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Shea Butter Glimmer to you. Goodbye.
Up-to-the-minute news and the best in talk. AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
Dave, our clocks are not synchronized. I don't know why, because of the transmitter, but how many seconds do we have to the top of the hour?
25 seconds.
Okay, 24, 23. We can just count it down together. I mean, it's not enough time to play a commercial. We'll play more commercials along with Kay's latest new commentary next hour. So stay tuned right here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. Am I getting there good?
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Stewart. As Tropical Storm Ernesto turns toward the Caribbean islands, hurricane forecasters are telling U.S. Gulf Coast residents to get ready and have a plan. Hurricane expert Michael Brennan.
We have not seen an increase in the winds yet, but the center is still moving toward the west and west-northwest.
And that's led to hurricane watches issued in Jamaica and the Cayman Islands. The storm is on a course that would bring heavy rains over Jamaica by tomorrow afternoon. Jamaican residents in low-lying areas are being told to prepare to get out. Both Democrats and Republicans are noting the coming one-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. In his weekly radio address, the president pays tribute to the more than 1,000 people who died. In the Democratic message, Senator Mary Landrieu says some areas still look like the storm hit just yesterday. Political strategist Chris Jacobus says it's easy to slam the president instead of having thoughts on how to make it better.
We've seen them bash the president on a number of different issues without coming up with any alternative plans.
But Democratic strategist Jenny Backus says the media is more at fault for blaming the president than the Democrats.
It's not the Democrats that are bashing the Republicans on Katrina. It's the evening news. You turn on the TV and you see everything that hasn't been done.
Katrina's one-year anniversary is Tuesday.
Atlantis, her crew and payload have been waiting nearly 4 years for this opportunity to fly this mission. And I'm pleased to announce that our vehicle, the launch team, and hopefully the weather are ready for tomorrow's launch.
NASA test director Jeff Spaulding, but the forecast is getting worse for that launch tomorrow. Shuttle weather officer Kathy Winters says there's a 60% chance bad weather will force a delay, although hopes are still high that the sea breeze will push the storms far enough away for Atlantis to take off at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Still, Winters says the weather looks better Monday and Tuesday, just in case tomorrow is a no-go. I'm Karen Stewart. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
There's a silent killer in our community. Black people, you better believe that strokes are hitting us hard. And a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if you suddenly have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. Act immediately. Call 911. Getting immediate medical help can be the difference between recovery and disability. Maybe it's happening to someone who's helped you. Now it's your turn to give back and help them. And help them. Strokes can be caused by high blood pressure, so I've taken my health seriously. Yeah, it looks good, but life looks even better. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The UN is demanding that Iran shut down its heavy water nuclear reactor, even threatening economic sanctions. But nonetheless, the plant is entering another phase of production and it's business as usual. The threat of Iran's nuclear ARIC project is that once complete, the plutonium produced as a byproduct could be used to make atomic warheads. Israel, the U.S., and European allies are worried. Iran insists it only wants the electricity out of the deal. In an effort to soften the friction, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan will head to Iran. New information in the John Carr case with a report of a witness who might be able to place Carr in Boulder when JonBenet Ramsey was killed. Meanwhile, Carr's public defender is disputing evidence. Carr's lawyer says any DNA samples taken so far could not have been obtained legally. And it's the outcome of the DNA evidence that could be a decision maker in this case.
That's going to be left to the jury to determine whether or not what the scientists say in terms of a DNA result is enough to convince them that John Mark Carr was there.
That's a weigh-in from criminologist Casey Jordan. Carr's public defender is also asking the court to seal his handwriting samples. Some experts say they resemble the writing on a ransom note found in the Ramsey home. A busy day for air security crews with seven separate incidents involving flights in from the U.S., among them a Continental Airlines plane held in El Paso, Texas, after the crew discovered a missing panel in the lavatory, and of course the 21-year-old student carrying a stick of dynamite home as a souvenir from South America. Then there was a flight from New York to Dublin that was evacuated because of a bomb threat. In total, there were seven incident yesterday, causing delays and service disruptions for airline passengers. And emergency officials in Delaware have issued a voluntary evacuation notice for dozens of homes near a chemical leak. A railroad car released the chemical styrene at a latex plant in Dover yesterday. Officials say the rail car's internal temperature is rising. They suggest some people leave the immediate area. I'm Karen Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, August 26, 2006. Today will be mostly sunny with highs around 75 degrees, northeast winds shifting to west-northwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight you can expect passing clouds with lows in the mid-50s and winds north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour as well. Tomorrow, a few clouds in the morning, but mainly sunny otherwise, with highs in the low 80s and winds north at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 5 to 10 knots. With wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell, 1 to 2 feet at 16 seconds. The temperature here at the station is 61 degrees, and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO.
To all those anal people out there who are angry that this is not a record show, why are we playing a jingle that refers to it as a record show? Just cool it. Just chill out.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio.
Now, when I was 8 years old, I used to hear that same jingle on this radio station. And that, presumably that woman recorded that, you know, back in the 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I wonder if that woman, if there's a way to find out the identity of that woman. I mean, amazing things are possible with technology these days. Do you think I could do a Google search on woman who recorded I'm sorry, baby, telephone jingle for KSCO.
Try it.
And see if that person's identity can pop up. And then if we could call her up and interview her. Mm-hmm. She's probably extremely old by now and probably doesn't sound the same as she did then. But I am just so fascinated by that.
And what a wonderful voice.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, what a sexy voice. Speaking of great voices, it is now time for the world premiere of Kay's latest award-winning commentary. Take it away.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's whirling.
It's easy for many Americans to feel wistful and envious after learning how the Australian government is now dealing with their immigration problems. If we had felt the same way 30 years ago when political correctness clouded our viewpoint and inhibited us from speaking out about the immigrant criticisms with regard to how we run our country, and if we had had more backbone instead of blind approval for diversity, we would be in better national shape now. We were so eager to make the newcomers feel welcome that we didn't realize that we were diluting our own unique beliefs. We abdicated our precious standards to accommodate those with different beliefs, and now we are a discontented mess, and nobody is truly happy. Listen to the following and wonder, Is it too late for us to assert our own American identity? This is called immigration common sense, and it was spoken by Australia Prime Minister John Howard. Muslims who want to live under Islamic law were told recently to get out of Australia as the government targeted radicals in a bid to head off potential terror attacks. Immigrants, not Australians, must adapt. Take it or leave it. We're tired of this nation worrying about whether we're offending some individual or their culture. Since the terrorists' attack on Bali, we've experienced a surge of patriotism by the majority of Australians. However, the dust from the attacks had hardly settled when the politically correct crowd again complained about the possibility that our patriotism was offending others. I'm not against immigration, nor do I hold a grudge against anyone who's seeking a better life by coming to Australia. However, there are a few things that those who have recently come to our country need to understand. This idea of Australia being a multicultural community has served only to dilute our sovereignty and our national identity. As Australians, we have our own culture, our own society, our own language, and our own lifestyle. We speak mainly English, not Spanish, Lebanese, Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, Russian, or any other language. Therefore, if you wish to become part of our society, then learn the language. Most Australians believe in God. If God offends you, then I suggest you consider another part of the world as your new home, because God is part of our culture. We're happy with our culture and have no desire to change, and we really don't care how you did things where you came from. By all means, keep your culture, but do not force it on others. This is our country, our land, and our lifestyle, and we will allow you every opportunity to enjoy all of this. However, once you are done complaining, whining, and griping about our flag, our pledge, our beliefs, or our way of life, I highly encourage you to take advantage of one other great Australian freedom, the right to leave. We didn't force you to come here. You asked to be here. So, KSCO listeners, this gem speaks volumes for the fervent wishes of many, many Americans. I believe it's not too late to take back our country and our national language and our own civil and religious beliefs. And only those willing to abide by them should stay, and the others should leave and go elsewhere. I know this is wishful thinking. Let's take back Christmas and the Ten Commandments and all our other national beliefs. And best of all, let's embrace Almighty God. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Except that we're not allowed to play that on KOMY because we don't want to offend its audience. Okay, true. We're not. I mean, we switched KOMY to Air America Radio. A little more than a year ago, and for the first 10 months, we made it a point to keep Kay's commentaries off KOMY. And after about 10 months, you know, we decided, hey, you know, no one's supporting the radio station. There are certainly no advertisers, so to hell with them. Let's put Kay's commentaries on, and then the bleep hit the fan. The people got so upset they had nervous breakdowns. I mean, the comment lines just melted down. We were called horrible names. And what's going on with this world? I mean, it's just all... Anyhow.
At least you found out the listeners were alive.
Yeah, does anybody... Yeah, well, we knew that there were a good amount of listeners, and are. They're just, you know, there are just no advertisers. Anyhow, welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special. Is there anybody who wants to disagree with Kay's commentary in any way? if with the full understanding that you'll have to leave afterwards.
Michael, I'll be willing to leave at 12, but I just want to make a comment, and I know that you're pretty close to Kay, but
she's my mama.
That's right. And apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I'm very proud of my mama.
But the last big round of immigration reform in the United States, the amnesty that was given to illegal immigrants, who I believe then became undocumented workers, was in the mid-80s, and it was Ronald Reagan as president.
Right.
So for people to say, oh, this is just, you know, a left-wing political correct type of a thing, it's far more complicated than that. It was Ronald Reagan who was, I still don't believe anybody would really call him a leftist. And the other thing is, our issues here in the United States are somewhat different than in Australia. Australia is an island, essentially. Here, the immigration issue, I think, is more complicated than that, because we have very conservative people who are big business people who want a supply of very cheap labor. And that, in part, is running one side of the immigration issue. And then you have other people who are talking about civil liberties and things like that on the other side. And so you have and labor unions who say want to, you know, be able to control the labor market a little better. It's not just an issue of patriotism or keeping our way of life. It's also big business.
Oh, big time, for sure. And in fact, we've never done we've done plenty of programs on illegal immigration on KSCO, to be sure. But we've never done a program that I would like to do, maybe as early as next weekend. And that is how the Americans don't work, but the Mexicans do. I mean, none of us white guys are willing to do anything except talk and bitch and complain. I can't get anybody to work to do anything, you know. We'll get into that. I think we should plan a program, a Saturday special on the death of the work ethic among Caucasians in the United States. And they wonder why the place is being taken over by Mexico.
You'll probably get three white guys to do it, huh?
No, I don't think we'll be able to get any white guys, because I don't think, you know,
too early in the morning for them.
Yeah, it's too much work for them to to participate. Anyhow, so welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. We're going to have not one but two commercial breaks today, thanks to Dave. He's going to break in because there's a very good chance that I will get too preoccupied in running the program, and he will have to remind me that if we don't run commercials, there won't be no program much longer. Okay, so Harold and Aptos has many questions. Joe has a suggestion of how to fight Singer, how to find Singer of Jingle. And then there's Tony in Santa Cruz. I don't know what Tony wants to talk about, but let's find out what Joe wants to say.
Hello.
Hi,
Joe. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just came by a lawnmower, so. Well, you know, when you had the other jingle, I listened to that, the KSVO jingle, and I thought about it, and it sounded like Steve Hartman. And then after listening to this jingle for, you know, years now, I've always thought that was the young Kay's Whirling.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Well,
I love my mother, but I can't stand it when she sings.
Well, this may have been years ago.
No, it wasn't.
But, you know, actually,
I would really like to know who it was, though.
You know what? There, probably a couple years ago, I left a message with you. There was an employee from KSVO, probably from the at least early 50s. He was a veteran. And if I could find that again, he might be able to tell you whose voice that was.
I think I can find the name of the jingle company that produced that. And if they're still in business, I think they're in Dallas somewhere. We might be able to do something with it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to lose too much sleep. But thank you, Joe.
Yeah, but that's the mystery question.
It is. Well, the real mystery question today.
Mystery voice. And find out who the man was who sings that, you know, KSCO 1080 on your dial. I'd like to know who he is. Put a picture up or something on your website.
While we're talking about things like that, what about the people who say this is your favorite radio station? That's more than one. That's sort of a, right? Yeah, that would be nice. But it's just that one woman with a sexy voice that just seemed so un-KSCO-ish years ago. I mean, that's a hip-sounding, you know, suggestive jingle. And back then, when KSCO was a Montavani music station, you know, that no kids would be caught dead listening to. The only reason I did is because it was the only radio station in Santa Cruz that I could visit.
Are you saying Kay's Whirling isn't hip and always hasn't been?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about it was back then when this jingle was first played, when I was like 7, 8 years old.
Yeah, I'm sure
it didn't. It didn't sound like it. Just it didn't belong on KSCO, but I was thankful that it was.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, so guys, I got all kinds of fantasy. Well, never mind. So listen, thank you for calling, Joe.
Okay.
You have a good one. Tony in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO, the Saturday special.
Yeah, I'm calling in reference to a comment that I heard at the top of the program, and it was actually a false statement, and I believe that you know it's false, which is to say that everyone agrees with the official story on the 9/11 thing. That's utterly disingenuous at best.
Did I say that?
Well, it was an idea that was floated amongst you and your guests. And it was kind of like one of those code word deals where you go, oh, yeah, you know, oh, everybody agrees. When it's at least half of people in the country don't buy it, this utterly flimsy official story that has no evidence to wit that anyone can produce. I mean, give me a break. You know, I mean, that's a total lie.
Tony, you sound like a very angry man.
I am an angry man because you said a false statement. It's typical of what's going on in this country where people use these code words to kind of say, oh, anyone who doesn't agree with the official story is so whack that we don't even need to include them.
What official story are you talking about?
The official story that the 9/11 attack was performed by the Arabs with no help from anyone on the inside, and that it's all good, and we figured it out, and we can move on. That's BS.
Okay. I think that... For people who want to believe in that conspiracy theory,
you want to laugh at me. I mean, I'm 2 minutes away from your radio station. I'll meet you in the parking lot, buddy.
I think you've just shown your intelligence, sir.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Cute little sarcastic comments don't deal with facts. The facts and the evidence as it's presented.
Do we need to call the police to protect us?
Call who you got to call. I'm talking about the facts of this case.
Tony, do we have to be afraid that you're going to pop us when we walk out of the radio station?
No, sir, you do not. But yeah,
I was willing to to grant you a little bit of credibility until you made that statement.
You have no desire to find out what's really going on. You don't have any desire to find out what's really going on.
Now, you really think that half the people in the United States agree with you?
I don't know if they agree with me, but I do know that the many, many people have looked into this subject and have found that the official story doesn't wash. And those are usually the people that actually look at it, not the ones that just watch TV and say, oh, ha, 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 isn't it so funny that everybody's so stupid.
Right. Okay. Well, I think you've made your point.
Okay,
and,
good. I'm glad that I did. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. He cut himself off.
Good.
I didn't have to cut him off.
We have a very diverse audience, Michael.
Jeannie and Aptos. And then, wait a minute. Oh, Jeannie and Aptos is me. No, Harold and Aptos here. Harold, you're on. I tried to put Jeannie and Aptos, but it wouldn't work.
Okay, that's good.
It's good? You don't like to hear Jeannie?
Oh, I've debated her before in the coffee shop, so I'm trying to stick to the topic today. But after that last caller, I don't know. But anyhow, the way I see it as a historian, that we, the United States of America, is in their last century. We may be extinct in 50 years. We're in the 5th century where the Roman Empire was. But you're seeing Islam as the main force, the new barbarian that will destroy this country. And, of course, I'm looking at Mexico with 20 million that have come across the border. I think about 100,000 Muslims have come across the Mexican border, and there are terrorist cells here. It's in the thousands, I know that. So how do we solve this Rubik's Cube? Well, President Bush has the power right now. But is he a strong leader or a weak leader? I'm very worried about him. He thinks he's an aristocrat. The Bush family does. They're too close to the Saudi royal family. That bothers me. What I would do if I had the power, you can go two ways. You can seize the oil wells by force. But look at our army. We've got an army of National Guardsmen, old people, women. I don't know. If the Muslim world ever united against us and had used their atomic power and warriors, if they had a Saladin, right now they would beat us. But what else? What other tactics do they use in history? There will be bribes used. There will be assassinations of American leaders. Islam is going to do whatever they have to do to win. And you're going to have to either totally destroy them or put a big hurt on them so they'll never rise again. Because
do you think you can totally destroy them?
It may come to that because there's going to be nuclear changes.
Do you think it's possible?
Yes. Yes. With technology, are you kidding? We can destroy the world 50 times. But I will say that...
Well, then we destroy us in the process. I mean, what I'm saying is, aren't they everywhere, including... Well, not in this
room.
Well,
they're not united, and it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort to build even a nuclear weapon. And sure, Iran has some, Pakistan, but if we hit them in a first strike, they would be totally destroyed. And I will say that Israel has to be protected by the United States because they're a democracy. I would give the Muslim world the rest of the Middle East. I would give them Pakistan, North Africa if they wanted it, Indonesia, but all immigration from Muslim countries and, of course, the Latino countries will be cut off to the United States. The Muslims that are here will be closely watched if they're assimilating into our culture. All immigration from those two areas would have to be cut off. It worries me because the Democrats, the California Teachers Association, is their most powerful union. They're teaching our children in schools not that they're Americans, not about the Bill of Rights. They're teaching them globalism and internationalism. Be good little international students of the world. And what do you see out there in the world? We've got dangerous warlords ruling China, India, Pakistan. This is no, it's a myth. This internationalism, it's going to bring us down.
Harold, you've been great in not calling the comment line. You know, you've been very, very good lately.
I have.
Yeah.
And you're talking about last week, you had noises coming over your phone, so I had to hang up. You had those strange technical difficulties, so.
Okay.
Can I get on?
We need to finish up here.
Okay, so. Would you put me on hold then? Because I have some other stuff here. One more page.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll put you on hold.
I want to
we'll let you finish
Lena
up for another minute, minute and a half, something like that.
1 minute, yeah.
Okay, we'll put you on hold. And before we go to Jeannie and Aptos, we're going to go to a commercial break right now, okay?
Thank you.
This is your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's a Saturday special. Go ahead, Dave.
It's time for the Wine Corner, featuring the fine wine folks from the store with the best selection of wine in Santa Cruz County. That's Shopper's Corner at Brands of 40 in Soquel in Santa Cruz.
I'm Brian Hamilton. I'm one of the wine buyers here. I am a traditionalist, but that being said, you don't have to follow those kind of set rules. You know, I've had salmon paired with Pinot Noir, and it's just glorious. If you're budget-minded and you want to just kind of experiment with pairing foods with certain wines, I think you should go for it. I don't think you should restrict yourself, especially if you're, you know, just starting out exploring wine. Sometimes it's nice to find out the hard way that a certain wine doesn't go with something because you figure out why it doesn't go with that certain food, and you've kind of come to that conclusion yourself.
Make a good meal a great one. Stop by Shopper's Corner and ask the fine wine folks for the perfect wine to go with your meal. For the best selection of wine in Santa Cruz County, it's Shopper's Corner, the store with the wooden floor. Sail away on the Chardonnay. Relax as a 70-foot Chardonnay sets sail from the Santa Cruz Yacht Harbor. Enjoy the spectacular views of the bay as the Chardonnay's professional crew entertains you with their impeccable service. The Chardonnay for the cruise of your choice. Like the taste of Santa Cruz, the brewmaster and the winemaker. Or how about the romantic sunset sail, the Sunday brunch, or the Wednesday night races? You can even charter the Chardonnay for a company-wide sail away. Sail away on the Chardonnay for only $49.50 per person. The Chardonnay is licensed, insured, and Coast Guard inspected. Reserve your sail away today. Call the Chardonnay at 423-1213. 423-1213. Or log on to Chardonnay.com. That's 423-1213.
Wow, I am so excited. This is Connie Reeder. I'm really excited about the phenomenal patented new weight loss product just launched by Youngevity. Slender FX is not a diet pill. This all-natural formulation is stimulant-free. It is a patented blend of plant material, fatty acids, and minerals scientifically designed to target fat loss in the midsection of the body. You can see why this is so exciting. Finally, a healthy way to lose weight, lose fat. Slender FX assists your body in burning fat, not lean muscle. People are even seeing results without drastically changing their eating habits. Slender FX supports healthful and safe fat loss for the long term, especially when combined with a balanced diet and committed exercise. Slender FX from Youngevity, a name synonymous with worldwide health, beauty, youthful energy, and now healthy weight loss. Get started on Slender FX now. Call 800-964-3064 and find out how. Again, 800-964-3064.
Okay, and we're back with hour number two. We're actually into hour number two and a half of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ along with special guests Kalev Sip, who is a professor from the Defense Analysis Department of the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, Dr. Lena Farhad-Holtzman, and Gil Stein. We're talking about the situation in the world. And before we went to the break, we were talking with Harold, and I promised Harold another minute or so to develop his point. Before we do that, I want to make a – I was thinking during that last commercial break when the commercial for Chardonnay came on, would there be any interest out there on the part of the KSCO audience to have a Chardonnay party for, you know, ourselves, you know, the KSCO, you know, personalities and, you know, listeners? I mean, I'm just sort of – or don't – maybe nobody would care. I mean, you get enough of us already, right? Just listening on the radio. You wouldn't have to look, especially if you don't know what we look like. And then you see us for the first time, you almost want to lose your lunch. You know, we have great faces for radio. But it was just something that went through my head when I was listening to the Chardonnay thing. Maybe we should have a party on the Chardonnay for select KSCO listeners and KSCO staff. What do you think? Give us a call at 479-1080, and if we don't get any phone calls, I'll just go ahead and forget that idea. Or you could send me an email, mz@ksco.com. Okay, Harold.
Okay. Point A, I could tell you you're talking about both Republicans and Democrats, both businessmen want this new cheap labor supply from the Latino invader. This is true, but nobody has mentioned a major power behind the open borders to Mexico, and it is the Catholic Church. And until you deal with the Catholic Church, this country, that is going to be the end of the United States of America. How do I know
Harold,
this?
What are you talking? How do you mean deal with the Catholic Church? What are you talking
Mexico
about?
Mexico is Catholic. Pope John Paul told all American Catholics when they met in churches, in their churches, to back this open borders. They put religion above state. And until you see this, you're looking at the West versus the East. You don't see the major power. How do I know this? When I left Watsonville, California, 8,000 of us fled the Latino crime wave there. I went back 5 years later, and all Catholics stayed in Watsonville. Then I got talking to some of my friends, and they told me that it came down from that charismatic Pope, John Paul, that they're to back this open borders. And I'm telling you, unless they show some patriotism, that is going to be what destroys this country, where you're looking over the seas, and I'm telling you, I'd like to hear from your two guests what they think of that. Do they realize...
Wait a minute. We have three guests.
I'm not sure who the third one is, but I'm a historian. I want to hear from the Islamic professor and Dr. Lena, because I'd like to debate both of them sometime. And Ruth, the man Ruski, won't debate me.
Oh, you're the Islamic professor?
I suppose.
Okay, well, he wants to hear from you, so let him
Mohammed,
hear.
The professor there from the Defense Language Institute or whatever, whoever he is.
He's not Islamic.
Who is he?
He's a Finn.
Well, his name sounded, he almost sounded like a Muslim.
No, well, he's not.
Kalev Sip. Okay, bring the microphone close to your mouth, Kalev.
Kalev, that's it. It sounds like Kalib or Kalev or something. So there's
okay,
nobody.
This here is Okay, affectionately known as Racist Harold, who's a regular caller to KSCO.
Yeah. Patriotic Harold. Mike doesn't know a damn thing about history.
No.
He's in an area he doesn't know a thing about.
You once told me it was okay to call you Racist Harold. Now you've since changed your mind.
No, that's just it. Because I can put a name tag on you, too. You wouldn't like it.
What is it?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
That's not bad. I wouldn't like Jesus. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead,
Colin. That would be a good one, wouldn't it? But I want to hear some comments, especially from your two guests, because somebody has to give the Muslim point of view, and I think somebody did. But you got to remember, Muslim, you're an intolerant religion. That's your bottom line. And you're going to meet me in the battlefield. We've had guys like Charlemagne, King Sancho, El Cid that have beaten you back before out of Europe. And we're going to get a great president or maybe an emperor or a king here that are going to beat you back if you keep coming to the United States. And we're going to deal with the Latino Americans within the next 50 to 100 years, or the United States of America, like Rome, is going
to
be.
If you continue to behave and not monopolize the comment line,
okay,
we'll let you host a program one day, just, you know, to be the Herald show for just one day.
I'm not doing that anymore, am I?
What?
You're getting hate calls on something else. I'm not even sure what it is, but I don't call those lines anymore.
Good. Okay.
Okay, comments from your guest?
Yes, go ahead, caller, please.
I have to cede that my poor knowledge of history pales in comparison to Harold's grasp of the sweep of events and personalities that are coming to a confluence at this particular time. I am
Facetious, or are you serious?
Maybe I'm impressed. You know, I'm a little taken back by the immorality of the idea of an unprovoked nuclear bombardment of Muslim nations to prevent some imagined outcome of the eventual conquest of the world by Islamists. Although it's kind of interesting, I would wonder what Islamists or Islamic peoples, Muslims would imagine that to be, in the same way that you might say, you know, Christian.
Okay, I can tell you, Islam would hit you first if they had the power. They would. And if we have a weak president or weak leader, they would not. But Dr. Lena, I've told Michael this. What worries me about your history is you have a Persian background too. And under Cyrus the Great and Xerxes and Darius, the Persians tried to overrun Western civilization. But most of the time, I agree with you. But that Persian background of yours, I'm a little skeptical about that.
I don't have a Persian background.
Oh, Farhat.
No, I was married to an Iranian years ago, but
yes,
I've long since been cut free. No, I think, Harold, the problem with what you're saying is that you're looking at things and projecting out linearly. You're draconian. You think that because we have Hispanic migration into this country that it will go on forever until everybody in Mexico lives here. Things in history don't work that way.
Oh, yes, they do.
No, they don't. They change unexpectedly. There's all the unexpected consequences. If Mexico, for example, which has already begun, it has cut its population growth rate, it's beginning to start to develop an economy that can sustain it. It's just beginning. Now, when that happens, we won't get immigration from Mexico any longer. That could happen within the next 20 years.
Okay.
With the Muslims that you were talking about, they are not united on anything. And that's one thing that you have to understand with Muslims. They're not united. They're not.
The hatred of the USA.
Well, yeah, but
the hatred of the USA, they're united.
They're united on that at the moment. But
that's enough for us to be concerned about, don't you think?
Okay, Dr.
Yeah.
Lena,
yeah.
During the Crusades, they were united under Saladin.
For about 5 minutes.
They can be united again. And of course, they threw us back into Europe. Maybe that was a good thing. I don't know.
Us? I don't know. I don't think any of us here were there at the time. And I think the world is a lot different. I think it's evolved both good and bad over the last 1,000 years. And
okay,
you know, you're right. You should learn from history. But I think Lena's also correct. And
my
and
Finnish
things
friend,
do change.
What Dr. Lena is not telling you is, see, Muhammad rose in 650 A.D. and we're at the year 2006. So we've had 1,400 years with Islam is still on the rise, has not been totally defeated or pushed back into the Middle East or Persia or anything. The 14 centuries, and they're still going strong.
they're getting stronger and we're getting weaker, and they're not united yet, but they will be someday, from Pakistan to Persia.
I don't believe that. No. Yeah.
No, I think, Harold, we love you, but it's time to wrap you up for the day.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, here comes Dave Allen, the Dave Allen. Dave. Dave, why are you laughing at us?
Poor Harold.
Are you laughing at us or with us?
Both.
Okay.
Poor Harold. Why? He means well.
He means well? Well,
look,
he is an historian.
No, I know that. I'm not making fun of the dude, man. He has the old-fashioned spirit. But Jimmy Stewart died. Nobody's going to get off the bus to save anybody. And you understand this. I have a map, or should I say a plan, a U.N. plan, the wonderful U.N., showing the world as they would like it, 10 global different sections. Now, Canada, United States, Mexico, all part one group of the 10 regions. That's why this open border thing's been allowed. You know, they want everybody to get along to sing kumbaya, whether they want to or not. And all these poor Muslims, they have no idea what's going to happen when they actually find out that Islam was created by Rome back in the early 600s, because the Pope decided they needed Arab Jesus. They came with his mom and dude. If the whole world, all this religious garbage is based on fiction, everybody's been sold a bill of goods, sorry to say so. You can understand the real history. And one more thing before I blast off here. For a bill of goods, how could anybody with two brain cells look at this thing of the World Trade Center and go, oh, yeah, two aluminum airplanes, a building with eight steel columns built like a fortress, and that caused the collapse. Those buildings were purposely decided to take an impact like that, actual several. It's like me seeing that an aluminum airplane with some kerosene on it is going to burn a building down like that, like throwing a beer can at a safe and saying that's going to penetrate the door of the safe. It's ridiculous. The fireman said, we heard explosions, boom, 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 like that news, like demolition going off. Now, either firemen are idiots or the American people are.
Hey, I have a question. What about the small, the World Trade Center has the two towers, the big towers, and then several other much smaller buildings, you know, with multiple stories.
That's right.
Why were those, did any plane fly into those?
Michael, I get a video showing building number 7, which is occupied by FBI Bureau and CIA Bureau, three blocks away, and said that because of the damages of trade towers and the debris, that the owner of the building said we had to pull. Now, I watch Science Channel. I'm sure you guys do, too. It takes weeks, sometimes weeks and months, to set up a building for demolition. Why was that building pulled 4 hours later? Boom, 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 and it collapsed. Why was that all ready to go? And why are the bone fragments found 4 or 5 blocks away? There's a fire blow a piece of people into little disintegrated bits. Where they blow in the wind, and parts of bones, of human bones, found the rooftops and blocks around.
Why? Well, we're getting off the subject. We're going to have to do a whole, Dave, we're going to have to.
You know, Mohammed Atta's passport is found on the ground, perfect condition.
We'll have to do a whole program on this sometime, Dave. We're all getting off, but you are piquing my interest. This is,
But there's so much stuff on the internet at Google where you just go, just have an open mind. Don't have to believe in conspiracies or the moon's made of cheese. Just go, I'm an intelligent being. Let me see. That doesn't make sense. Thank you. I'll be on tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
There goes Dave. Thank you. Bye. He will be on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I think it's time for another commercial break. Am I right, Dave? Okay, good. Here we go. Hello?
Hello, my name is Bob Rigby, owner of Rigby Marble, a licensed contractor in Santa Cruz since 1981. At Rigby Marble, we pride ourselves in doing quality work at a reasonable price, thereby offering our customers a value. Rigby Marble is located across from Costco in Santa Cruz. Just make the first left on Harvey West Drive, and we are behind Dave's Gourmet Seafood. At Rigby Marble, you can get a granite slab kitchen while having gourmet seafood, and then save money again at Costco. And did I mention that Granite Rock, a quality granite slab supplier, is right across the street? At Rigby Marble, we won't take you for granted. You can call or just fax your kitchen plan to us at 454-9186 or make an appointment to come by and see what we do and look at some granite samples. At Rigby Marble, we have done marble and granite slab work in new homes that have sold for as much as $38 million, although no job is too small. And don't take us for granted either. You can get a second opinion around the corner on Fern Street at Lions Marble and Granite, another quality marble shop. My name is Bob Rigby, owner of Rigby Marble. Call 454-9186. Thank you.
J.C. Heating and Air Conditioning was started in 1975 by John and Carol Hadley. I'm Chris, and when you call J.C. Heating, I'm the guy who's going to come over to your home and explain your new heating system, air conditioning, and indoor air quality appliances. The secret to J.C. Heating's success in the Monterey Bay Area for 30 years? We offer safety, comfort, and value. Pretty basic. If you're building or remodeling, or just want to get rid of your old inefficient furnace, call us at 831-475-6538. Want to know the latest in high-efficiency heating and cooling? Call me. Trouble with your ducting? Those critters will get in if you don't watch out. Call JC Heating. We want to hear from you. And for those of you who suffer from asthma or allergies, ask about our perfect air purifier. JC Heating and Air Conditioning. Regular people. I'm Chris, a regular guy who wants to get in your house and fix it. Call us at 831-475-6538. JC Heating, 475-6538.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Spending time in the great outdoors doesn't have to mean roughing it, especially when you have the latest camping gear from Outdoor World. A lightweight, ultra-comfortable sleeping pad, a weather-resistant tent, or a cozy, warm sleeping bag will make spending time in the great outdoors, well, great. Outdoor World has the latest gear for camping, hunting, or fishing. Check out the new drip coffee maker from Coleman, designed to fit on camp stoves, or the cool and sturdy stainless steel Coleman ice chests. You'll also find camp cookware, cots, lanterns, and accessories. Going fishing? Check out Outdoor World's selection of fishing poles, waders, boots, and tackle boxes. And duck hunters will love Outdoor World's selection of hunting rifles, ammo, gun safes, and camo clothing. With so much gear in one place, you're bound to find what you're looking for, and maybe something a little extra, like time. Shop Outdoor World in Monterey on Fremont Street, on River Street in Santa Cruz, and on 41st Avenue in Capitola. Look for their ad in the Good Times in Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World. We gear you for adventure.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. My fault. Thank you, Dave. You did write on the computer screen that the last commercial was the Outdoor World one. So it was me that was busy talking with our illustrious group of guests here. Hey, we have Jeannie and Aptos, Greg and Salinas, Bill and Monterey, John and Salinas, and Richard N. Watsonville. But none of them taught me government in high school like Soquel Bob did. So he goes to the front of the line. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, you always identify me as a government teacher, which I was, but I haven't been for 23 years. I'm a businessman in Santa Cruz now. It should be pointed that out.
You ought to be ashamed of that, Bob.
Yeah, I should be ashamed, but I'm not. I'm not ashamed of anything, mostly. Okay. Anyway, it's very interesting to hear Harold's knowledge of history, of which he is most knowledgeable. But one thing he said that I don't necessarily disagree with, is that he pointed out that Saladin, who led the... who fought in the Third Crusade against Richard the Lionhearted, most of his army were not Arabs. They were Seljuk Turks, which brings me up to the role of the Turks, which Elaine and the other people probably know something about. Mm-hmm. They seem to be more or less on the side of the Americans and the Atlantic Alliance, and they seem to be a reliable ally in the Middle East. What do you folks think about that? Of course, it's going to bring up problems with Iraq because of the Kurd situation.
I think that the Turks are in a process of transition, and it's a little bit nerve-wracking to watch it. They've always been, certainly for the past 50 years, they've been friends of the United States and of the Western Alliance. But what happened in Turkey is that half the population in the eastern part of the country has been very poverty-stricken, very ignorant, and very religious, and they have had a population explosion, and they've been really changing the complexion of Turkey.
True.
And
I don't
so that's
agree with that.
I think we have some concern about whether Turkey will remain permanently a secure part of the Western Alliance. I don't know. 10 years from now, I don't know what's going to happen with Turkey. Things
change.
What's going
to happen 10 years from now either? But I think what we have to, when we're talking about Iraq and in the Kurdish situation, we have to. The Turks have to come in as an element that we have to be concerned about.
You bet. That's
and
true.
One of the things that you're talking about today is the split in the Muslim community between the Sunnis and the Shias.
Mm-hmm.
Many people aren't going to agree with me on this, but one of the things we did after 9/11 was to invade Iraq, and Iran's worst enemy next to us is Saddam Hussein. He not only was a Sunni, but he ran a secular government, and he was the Iranians' worst enemy. So that's one of the, to me, that was a very foolish thing we did in that invasion. We should have looked at this whole situation geopolitically and thought about the role of Iraq in controlling Iran. And I don't know why we did this. I think it was the gentleman at the Army Language School who pointed out the split between the Sunnis and the Shias. I don't know how we're going to do this, but that should definitely be exploited. And I don't think it's being exploited enough.
That's what Lena said.
That's absolutely Lena's point.
She said that too.
Oh yes. I'm
not a conspiracy buff. Don't get me.
You don't sound like one. You don't sound like one, and you actually bring a lot of strategic clarity to the comprehension of the issues in Iraq and the role of Turkey in all of this, and also I would just add at this point speaking about Iraq, to consider that when we talk about what could be the outcomes in Iraq and what could be done and how long would it take. When you consider Turkey, which is a very successful nation in a number of ways, and a member of NATO, very closely tied since the days of President Truman to the United States.
I'm glad you mentioned Truman because he did a good job with the Truman Doctrine and the whole policy of containment at that time.
That's right.
Very extremely thoughtful.
We have to have Bob on one of these shows.
He's good.
If he'll come. Hey, Bob, we got to move on, but don't let your meatloaf, okay?
Let yours loaf either. Have a good
By the way, before you leave, hello, are you there? He hung up. I was going to tell Bob that we had a guest on, the former president of CBS Broadcast, Richard Jenks. He was on a Saturday special some weeks ago, and Bob complimented me for finally having a good program. And so I thought, I didn't know whether he knew that Richard Jenks is now doing regular essays for us, at noontime, at our noon show, the beginning of each noon show. Okay, Jeannie and Aptos, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi,
Anthony. Hey.
I would have liked Mike to speak a longer time in the first hour. And he was presenting some facts, and we could hear on the radio where Lena said, we don't want to listen to him. And I thought that was very discourteous to him, and who's running the show. And Lena, you have a tick, a communications tick. You laugh at everything when people are trying to put facts, credible facts. You laugh at everything you do. And it's like a gallows laugh or a nervous laugh. And I'm very concerned where your background is and where you come from. And when we try to put facts out, in fact, Lena and also the man from the Defense Institute, they always bring up the word conspiracy. And so you might change your way of debating because, MZ, I feel all three of these people are on the same page. There is no real discussion of this issue. And I'm going to make this very short.
Was that it?
That's it, MP.
Okay, to thank you, Jeannie. We have your phone number, right? So we've been meaning to do a program more on along, you know, the Agenda 21 and some of your thoughts here.
You have my pager. Kay has it.
Okay. All righty, thank you.
Bye.
Here comes, let's see, who's been waiting longest? John and Salinas, I guess, will be the next. And then there's a Gene and Salinas. And our good buddy Richard N. Watsonville and Bill in Monterey. But John and Salinas, it's your turn.
Wow. How can I follow that?
Which follow which?
What
Jeannie said?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's...
Well, wait a minute.
But you're following it, and that we can't turn back the clock.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm just joking.
Oh.
I would like the guests to comment, ask them if they have read Thomas Barnett's Pentagon's New Map, and also a book by John Nagle, Learning to Eat Soup with a Knife. And in Barnett's book, he states that we went into Iraq, but for whatever reason we went into, it was inevitable that we would sooner or later have to go in and take him down. So he justifies that, and also he had a lot of ideas on how to cope with this. He also commented on a military that was reluctant to change because some of the career directions for the senior officers were not as good with an anti-insurgency training. I'll take my answer on the air. So
thank you, Salinas John.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I know Tom Barnett, and I'm good friends with John Nagle, not Nagle. Nagle is the way his family pronounces the name. I think Tom's position on the that Saddam had to be removed is simply wrong. You know, there's a range of options. You don't have a single option in this case, and there's other things about that in Pentagon's New Map and his follow-on book that there are some weaknesses in his arguments. John's point, extremely well made in his book that was based on his dissertation that he wrote at Oxford on change in military organizations, is very good. I recommend his book. It's Learning to Eat Soup with a Knife. Very readable and very insightful, and it's on the must-read list for American general officers right now.
Must be a very hearty soup.
If you're actually going to do it. It's actually a quote from T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia. He said that trying to fight an insurgency is like learning to eat soup with a knife.
Okay. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere that we have but one caller left and 3.2 minutes left in the Saturday special? If someone else wants to call, I mean, we're going to put this caller on because he is the best. It's Richard N. Watsonville. But if somebody wants to call and finish up the program, we may or may not be able to get to that person. But right now here is Richard N. Watsonville.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. How are you?
Good, good. I was talking to a friend of mine that refuses to admit that he was born in Iran. Born in the Middle East.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Oh, because doesn't
he,
want
he,
to.
He wants to refer himself to as a Persian.
Oh, and he,
that and happens a lot, right?
And he's from Persia.
Yeah.
And he's got no use for anybody else from Iraq or either. So, in other words, unless they say Persia, he doesn't even want to deal with these people. It's new to me, but maybe not new to your guests. But
no, it's true.
It's true. In fact, I believe Lena, wasn't there a big fight when the Persian Gulf, the Arabic countries wanted to call it the Arabian Gulf and not the Persian Gulf?
And then I got a British map where the British played it both ways and they just called it the Gulf.
Well, where's the Arabian Sea?
The Arabian Sea is south of that, but
that was the Indian Ocean.
That's south of that.
Well, where's the Straits of Hormuz?
It's where the Persian Gulf meets the Arabian Sea.
You see, the thing is that we got a lot of people running around over there that really don't know who they are or where they're from, do we?
Well, the Iranians, I mean, it was called Persia at one time, so
Well, they think they own that whole thing, all the way over to Saudi Arabia, everything.
Richard,
Yes, sir.
June in Santa Cruz wants to speak with you.
June?
Yeah, go ahead, June. You're on with Richard and Watsonville.
Hey, June. Hi, this is Julia from Santa Cruz.
Hi, Julia.
It's not Julia, it's June.
June. No, I want to talk to Michael Z.
I remember... Oh, you don't want to talk to Richard.
No.
That's okay.
Is this the June that likes Humble Brian?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I recognize your voice. How are you, June? We only have a minute.
Thank you. I also like you. And that's why I want to meet you.
Bless you. I think you're the only person.
Especially your mother.
Oh, you like her, too?
Yeah, I like to meet your mother.
What a coincidence.
And I want
so
to meet your crew as well. And I already met Michael Olsen in your celebration for the Flag Day twice.
Whoa.
I took my painting there to show.
Uh-huh.
I sold my painting there, so I'm an artist.
Oh.
I think that's a great idea. I'd like to meet all of you.
Oh, on the Chardonnay?
There too, huh?
To do a Chardonnay cruise?
Yeah, I like to meet all of you and meet some of the caller too.
I think that's okay.
I think it's a great idea. Only one thing is that I like to be in the daytime because I don't like to go out at night. I'm dry along even though it's not too far away.
We'll have to figure it out for 4 or 5 o'clock or something. Thank you, June.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, Scott in Boulder Creek, thanks for calling, but it's the end of the radio show. Now we're going to do that close of That's All, folks. Thanks, guys, for being here. Thanks, Gil, Lena, and Kalev. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Up to the minute news and the best in talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
It's 12 o'clock and time for Fox News.
News Radio. I'm Lisa Brady. No space shuttle launch tomorrow. NASA putting off the Atlantis mission for at least 24 hours due to stormy weather, including a lightning strike yesterday.
There was a lightning strike that took place on the launch pad. It hit that launch pad and apparently hit a wire, and that wire was attached to a building that is put there specifically for lightning strikes.
Fox's Orlando Salinas at the Kennedy Space Center.
When that lightning strike hit, I'm hearing from a NASA source, they tell me that it sent the technicians scrambling. They put those techs about 3 hours behind schedule and said it shut down work there for about 6 hours. They are now conferring, trying to figure out if they can make up those 6 hours through overtime, double time, any kind of time they can pull out of anywhere.
Atlantis now scheduled to lift off 4:05 p.m. Eastern Time Monday. A hopeful sign today for two kidnapped Fox News journalists, Steve Santani and Olaf Wig, abducted nearly 2 weeks ago in Gaza.
A few moments ago, the Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh spoke to a reporter with a Palestinian news agency, and now his remarks are being carried on the Associated Press. He says that he hopes the crisis will be resolved. Quoting him now, these are his words, in the coming hours.
However, Fox's David Lee Miller is stressing Fox News has no independent confirmation of this. Again, these are the words of the Palestinian Prime Minister, as reported by AP. Gaining strength in the Caribbean, Tropical Storm Ernesto, which could become the first hurricane of the season.
Ernesto is moving toward the west-northwest near 14 miles an hour, and that motion is expected to continue today, and that'll bring the center of Ernesto south of Haiti and very close to Jamaica tomorrow.
Michael Brennan at the National Hurricane Center. Forecasters urging Gulf Coast residents to prepare just in case. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
This Tuesday marks the first anniversary of Katrina, one of the deadliest and most costly natural disasters in American history.
President Bush, using his weekly radio address to pay tribute to the more than 1,000 people who died and to note the difficulties still ahead for survivors. In the Democratic response, Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu said flood control funds were requested long before Katrina.
Before Katrina and Rita, many of us questioned the White House's decision to cut funding for levees and flood control. We were told the money was needed instead for the president's priorities, which included homeland security. But what is homeland security without hometown safety?
Landrieu also calling for a new spirit of hope and recovery on the Gulf Coast. One New Orleans couple waited nearly a year for a FEMA trailer, only to have it explode minutes after they got inside. Fire officials say flammable vapor somehow ignited, causing an explosion. The case still under investigation. One of the residents said to have been badly burned. A California wildfire beating a path to Michael Jackson's front door.
While he's in Bahrain, Neverland's burning. An out-of-control wildfire scorching at least 40 acres of Michael Jackson's 2,500-acre Neverland Ranch. About 100 firefighters sent to the scene. The flames coming within a quarter of a mile from the main residence. Jackson closing his mansion, laying off employees back in March. His menagerie of exotic animals adopted by others. Jackson living in Bahrain since his acquittal on child molestation charges last year. Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
In Delaware, a voluntary evacuation notice has been issued. It's for dozens of homes near a latex plant. A railroad car released a hazardous chemical there yesterday, sickening more than 20 people. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather report for today, Saturday, August 26, 2006. Today will be mostly sunny with highs around 75 degrees, northeast winds shifting to west-northwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight you can expect a few passing clouds with lows in the mid-50s and winds north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow you can expect a few clouds in the morning, but sunny conditions otherwise, with lows in the highs in the low 80s and winds north at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 5 to 10 knots with wind waves up to 1 foot and a mixed swell 2 to 5 feet at 9 seconds and southwest 1 to 2 feet at 16 seconds. Tonight out there on the bay, west winds 5 knots, wind waves 1 foot and a mixed swell northwest 2 to 5 feet at 9 seconds and southwest 1 to 2 feet at 15 seconds along with patchy fog after midnight.